Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 86 for July 23rd, 2019. If you saw yesterday's show, you know that I'm in Chicago at the Traders Expo, which is just wrapping up now. Been a good show here. So today we're going to be looking at your trade ideas. Over the last few days, about 30 people submitted 5 symbols each. And I put this together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. And we're going to get through as many of those as we can. So we're broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. So today I've arranged for Jim Kenny, Kristen Fromhertz, Mike Pisani, and Matt Buckley to join us, and Jackson is going to be moderator. Go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thank you, David. And before we get started, we're going to do a quick introduction around the horn here. And Matt Buckley is here. So, Matt, if you could unmute yourself and give us a quick background on, your background. People know you already, but just quickly, your background. And
I don't know if that's good or bad. Thanks, Jim. Yeah. Always glad to be back here, especially with you guys, some fellow 500-pound heads here. Was a retail guy when I was a young naval officer. Taught myself how to trade stocks and options, and just kind of applied that military methodology to everything I was learning flying a fighter and trading, and it worked really well. Having a checklist, being disciplined, managing risk, and kind of contingency planning, or more importantly, we call it chair flying. Before we went on any mission, we actually flew the mission sitting in a chair, going through mentally everything that could go wrong. Kind of same idea of trading. Helped run a big, very big Vol Arb firm up in Chicago. Helped build a brokerage house called Options House, which is now E-Trade, and then built the Options News Network. Been down here in South Florida, where it's wrath of God rain right now. So hopefully I don't get hit by lightning, which would be a first. And started Top Gun Options 10 years ago. So glad to be here.
Hey, we got a lot of great stocks here. So Wiz, this is going to be a great show. Mike, quick background on yourself, and again, what you're doing down there.
Thanks, Jim. Hey, Wiz, nice to be with you guys. I've been trading for about 10 years. I started trading full-time 5 years ago on my own. I use option flow and technicals to basically give me insight into the markets and what's going on, and use them also as a options, basically as a barometer, right? It's great for sentiment. You can watch the market and tell you, like today, like for example, until the news that we were going to China on Monday, the action on the covers was much worse than it appeared, and the option flow showed that. And I use that to basically tell me what's going on and what names I should be getting involved in, or maybe I should be just staying away or getting bearish. So love doing that. Been doing that now for 5 years full-time, 10 years total.
Great. And we're going to get some good insight from you, Mike, on these, because we got some great stocks to talk about. First one is obviously one of the biggest companies in the world, and it's Apple. And start out with Wiz. What are we looking at for Apple? It's been strong, up 160 today. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm a recovering Apple guy. Let me say it like that. So I was super long Apple back when it was an Acorn. I think I remember doing like a Trader Expo or something like that. Where was it? Mandalay Bay or something like that years ago, and it was like 80, 81 bucks. A couple of years ago, I had that near-death experience. That's Amazon, different A. We actually have earnings coming up on the 30. So some of these stocks, some of them have already had earnings. This one is on the horizon coming up here. But I think Apple is a solid company, like you said, Jim, up around that support, right around that 160 area. This was kind of the near-death experience down here at the Fed bottom, so to speak, in the fall. Big, big, strong rally. And then here's the other Fed slaughter here on October 3rd. I don't know. I'm not an earnings trader. Earnings are gambling to me, in essence. How many times have you been right, like in earnings, like, oh my God, they printed money? Remember, earnings are looking rearward, and the earnings call is looking forward. So how many times have you seen like, ah, man, I nailed it, and then they say something to call, and it moves against you? So I'd sit on my hands with Apple. I think the biggest freak out I had about Apple lately was back, here maybe 3-4 months ago, before, the whole trade war thing blew up, was literally, the Chinese government singling Apple out by name, saying, hey, Apple, you'll be the first U.S. company to get clipped. So that was a little bit of an overhang, but I don't know if that's realistic at all. I've been reading a lot of reports that Apple's actually moved a lot of their supply chain to Vietnam for cheaper stuff, money, and companies look for cheap labor and the best place to go. And I think the hottest thing is Vietnam. I like it. You guys know me. The other A I'm going to say instead of getting into this is Amazon. But in front of earnings, I'd sit on my hands with Apple and just see what their forward guidance is. Because even though it sounds like, you know, we got a little bit of a market rally today out of, hey, we're going to start talking about the trade war we're in again, we could wake up and the Chinese government completely hate Apple again. So I don't know. I'd sit on my hand in front of earnings at a minimum. But company ain't going out of business anytime soon, and it's solid, solid Apple.
Yeah, it looks like it's trying to find a new exciting product, and that's why it's kind of slugging along versus some of the strength it used to have. Mike, how do you see Apple?
You know, it's a tough trade here right now into the earnings next week. It's been trading this range. It was stuck at 206. It broke through yesterday. It got followed through today up into the 208 area. And it's got this small little gap up here, you know, that it's kind of pushing itself into. It's halfway through it now. That goes all the way up to 209, 210 area. But honestly, I think Wiz hit it in some respects that, you know, I don't like to play earnings. I thought last earnings Wiz, for what it's worth, was great. They beat big. They raised guidance huge. And they did a $75 billion buyback and got dumped. Yep. On China news, right? Mm-hmm. And I look at this company, I say, you know, if it wasn't for China, I think this thing would be at an all-time high, which puts it, you know, basically above the 230 area. But China,
I'd agree with that, man. I think that's a great point. That without the China overhang, I think they're even higher. Good point.
Yeah, but China's weighing, right? And today we had the news that we're going to China on Monday. And, you know, 20 minutes after that news came out, Kudlow comes on the air and says, well, that's just a goodwill gesture.
Exactly. Did you catch that? Wasn't that the funny part?
Yes. And the market rallies as all the algos go screaming, buy, buy, buy. I really think you need to wait till after earnings to trade Apple, which is next week. And it may rally, you know, and I think it could hit up into that 210, 212 area, but I wouldn't trust it until after earnings because barring a China trade deal, I think this name is stuck here.
Yeah. You know, and real quick, just to piggyback, you know what? These guys, you know, they could loan money to God. What's with the last earnings or cash on hand? What, $270 billion? So it's interesting because they've always said what as part of their earnings is like, and by the way, we're going to repurchase, you know, we're huge share back. What was it, 2-3 years ago? Carl Icahn was out there pounding the drum. Like, are you kidding? Give some of this cash back or do some share repurchases. So you never know with earnings, they could come off the turnbuckle, off the top ring and just announce a massive buyback too, even though the stock is up here at some pretty record high. So always remember that Apple's got that just laying on a pile of cash and very, very cash flow positive.
But they have a tremendous debt versus it now. That's the thing that's changed. They financed all these buybacks through floating bonds and stuff.
Yep. Great point.
It's just weird. It's like, okay, we have $250 billion in cash, but we're going to keep building our debt by financing these buyback and dividend increases.
Well, the interest rate on their debt is almost zero. So they probably just figured, why don't we use their money and keep our own and pay the 1%. You know?
Jim, great point. And maybe next week it'll be even lower.
Yeah. So, I mean, the debt that they were issuing is at really low rates. All right. Well, let's switch gears here and go over to Tesla and find out if a stock that's gone from 176 to 387, back to 259, back to 200 and whatever, what's going on with this? Because I think earnings are coming out this week as well.
Tomorrow. Exactly. Yeah, this is, I got to be honest with you, I'm not a Tesla guy. I was trading it for a while just because it was too juicy not to trade with these just massive swings. It's in some ways it's a Ponzi scheme. I still can't believe, you know, here's our justice system in America is, you know, what's her name? Martha Stewart, you know, the CEO of M-Clone gives her a little bit of a heads up and she avoids like a 200 grand loss and she goes to jail. But this guy, you know, does a high tweet about funding secured at 420, you know, literally wipes out funds and, you know, little lady in tennis shoes and doesn't even get a slap on the wrist. I guess when you're launching satellites for the NSA in the space, you can kind of drive the justice system around. But this is I'm not a Tesla guy. If you want to price this as an auto company, I agree with who's it, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley. It's a $100 stock on a good day with a tailwind. I just don't. This is like a Facebook to me. Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, you got to love them as entrepreneurs. I am not taking anything away from the dudes, but sometimes the best entrepreneurs make awful CEOs. Elon Musk needs to go be the chief booger eater or something like that, but move out of the kind of what he does right now and the stock rockets. Otherwise, if you start pricing it like an auto company, it should be a fraction of this price. So I'm not in the Tesla at all. I trade it. When you get, you know, high techs and stuff like that, I'll jump into this thing just for buffoonery. Other than that, man, I don't even know if it's going to be around in a couple of years.
Mike, what are you thinking on Tesla?
Well, right now I'm watching, before we go to Tesla's, Texas Instruments is up massively on earnings beat. Snap's up huge on earnings beat so early. Now the calls have happened, and CMG is up big on earnings beat. Boy, that's interesting to me as we're sitting here tonight, going into tomorrow morning with huge numbers. I hate Tesla. I despise this stock. When it looks good, it fails. When it looks like crap, it rallies. And if you look at this chart, I mean, look, you know, it came down to what, just short, just north of 175, and then it's rallied all the way to 268, 260 on what? What
hope
fundamentally Opium. Changed in this process? Yeah. Yes, we had good delivery numbers, which always get guided down on earnings, which are tomorrow night. So, okay. By the way, that earnings call, every other one seems to be the one to listen to, where anything can happen when Elon Musk gets on, which he's on the whole time. I always love when he looks at somebody and says, is that okay? Can I say that? Honestly, I don't know what to make of the stock anymore. I think he's brilliant in terms of just ideas, innovation. Yeah. You know, you look at Apple, what Apple used to have. But in terms of running a company, I agree with you. I think he needs to go. I think he needs to be put into a visionary role and let a real CEO come in and run the company.
Yep.
That said, if earnings are good tomorrow, this thing is 260 on a dime without even a second thought.
That, you know, that's what's interesting, man. That's why I get out of the way of names like this. I like to remind folks that if a stock isn't doing what you think it should be doing, you're wrong, not it. So there's been a couple times, like you said, Mike, where I'm like, it should be, and it's doing the exact opposite. That's when I go grab popcorn and I sit there. You're right. You know, the Steve Jobs, the Musks, the Zuckerbergs, put them in the chief booger eater role and grab an adult to run the thing, and it could be a great company. But they own all the shares, and you know, Elon put all the board of, essentially the what 12, 15 board of directors are all his buddies or family members. So he ain't going anywhere anytime soon. I think there's better, you know, alpha to be delivered in other, I'm going to say, safer places than a dude who's smoking weed on a Joe Rogan show, you know?
So. There you go. And drinking scotch. By the way, 281. Sorry. I said 260. I meant 281. I was looking. Eyes, yeah. Glasses. Mm-hmm. But yes.
Let's go to the next one here. This is Roku, and it's gone from 26 on a 52-week low up to 113. So that's over 400%. And today it did roll over a little bit off the 110 number. It was down about 365. This thing's trading 70% almost above its 200-day moving average. So it definitely has had a lot of participation and a big, big run. Wiz, what's going to happen with Roku?
Jim, I think you just you said it all in that intro, man. That's absolute insanity. All the numbers that Jim just threw out there. Anything, you tell me any type of those numbers, and it's a stock I'd short the hell out of, and then you take a look at the chart, and then you'd get killed. You'd get obliterated. One of those type of things, you know, look at these gaps on earnings, massive moves on, you know, post earnings. I think it's what, the 7th? 8.7. I got to be honest with you, I'm not a streaming guy. I get Netflix, I get the Roku, but you know, with Disney jumping into the pool with not even really opening their, you know, mouth yet, they're kind of yawning and getting started. I think this is more of an acquisition play than it is kind of a long-term ball. I think a Disney, or you know, I know there's Amazon Prime. Amazon hasn't even yawned yet either and could scoop up all these guys. I think it would be more of an acquisition, maybe a hop in your joint strike fighter and go the speed of light. Maybe buy some, you know, deep in the money 80 Delta calls out in time or something like that and forget about them. Other than that, I just, man, these type of things either run out of airspeed or they just bottle rocket. You know, they shine brightly and then disappear. So again, couple weeks in front of earnings and just looks like, what did you say, Jim? Like 400% above?
No, it's made about a 400% move. It's gone from 26 on the 52-week low up to 13. So the move itself is 400%, but the price versus the 200 days about 70% above.
Oh, that's what, yeah,
so
yeah.
The bottom line is that. But, you know, Chipotle had a big move too, and it refuses to come down. So there's obviously a story behind the story.
Yeah.
Mike, what's your story on this one?
I disagree with you big time, Wiz. And this is why I love this show.
Sweet.
I'm on here to do this. First of all, I'm a huge fan of this company. I said this company was going to 100 back when it was trading back here in the 50s, and I got laughed at when it dropped all the way to 26, big time, from last year. That said, I think you need to still understand what's going on in the industry. First of all, this first gap here that happened in the first week of January when they raised guidance at CES, big move. Citron came out short. Well, they blew Citron out of the water. He's gone. Yeah, I call him Citron. I hate him. I think he's an idiot. Next move. Next earnings period. Not only did they beat, they raised guidance a second time. Waffle around. Next earnings period. Hey, guess what? We beat, we raised guidance a third time in 6 months. How often does that happen? Very rarely. Streaming's booming. It's getting beat up a little here because of Netflix. You brought up Disney. Disney's about to become a monster. Between Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and now they own Hulu, they're about to create something that just takes on everybody. This is a buyout candidate. I agree with you in that respect because they are disrupting everybody. They are beating Amazon. They're beating everybody up in this space because they are platform independent, which makes them neutral.
True.
They're getting beat up here because people don't understand that just because Netflix subscribers in the United States were down, that doesn't mean streaming's down. What I think is going on here is people are now saying, I don't want to just spend $13 a month to 20 different streams or whatever it is. Pick 10. I'm going to rotate to whoever has the shows I want to watch. And that's why people don't quite understand this. I think, earnings in 2 weeks, I think you're going to be surprised on this guy.
Mike, you're but my machine's saying they're operating at a loss. You're saying they have earnings?
But they keep raising guidance. They're a newer, they're operating at a loss, but they keep raising guidance. They're getting closer and closer. They're, think back when Netflix was operating at a huge loss and Amazon,
right,
and all these companies.
Same idea.
Yeah. But they're independent, right? So every time somebody signs up from them from Netflix or Disney or Amazon, they get a piece of that in perpetuity. Mm-hmm.
Iger said, somebody asked, and now you guys are jumping in the pool. He's like, our only competition is sleep. There ain't no competition in between, all these streaming stuff. So I think it's good. But it kind of worries me though, that thing, you almost get to the law of large numbers. Every time they keep guiding up, I mean, is it physically possible to be sustained? Like I said, I don't know the space. Maybe it is, but man, it just sounds.
Well, my cable bill dropped from $280 a month to, with internet and everything I pay for, about $110-$115 a month.
That's pretty good. Through them?
Through Roku and paying for YouTube TV and the subscriptions I currently have, which I had before.
Very nice. Okay.
So you cool. tell, I mean, to me, that's sustainable.
Yeah.
So this is not priced to perfection for you. This thing could withstand, shall we say, a sober subscriber report or something like what happened to Netflix.
They don't have that. It's going to be how many signups are getting. They have their own little streaming stuff starting. But honestly, I think, I agree with you. I think, Jim, when you say they've run a lot, and I'm well aware of it, they've run from 26 from the lows to 113, right?
Right.
But honestly, I think this name's just getting going and they're disruptive. They did a secondary about a month ago and it just got eaten back up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that tells you there's a huge thing. And I think Wiz made the right point is, everybody talks about, Amazon or Netflix. The people that are probably going to look at them are somebody like Microsoft, who has no exposure to streaming, who wants a hardware company that has exposure to everybody. And I'm not saying Microsoft is the guy, but it's somebody like that. It's not somebody that currently has an existing service. Roku, the beauty of it is they're platform independent. So you don't want to be a Netflix and buy them because now you're basically trying to do preferential treatment. So I think you're right.
All right, let's switch gears over here to Intel because the semis have been going on a pretty good roll. And Intel has been trying to make a move off 45 here. And Wiz, do you think there's more legs here to this one, which is kind of in a group that seems to have some legs right now?
Yeah, Intel's got, was it aftermarket before, 25th AMC aftermarket close. I think the semiconductors have survived a near-death experience also from the trade war, right? They're getting lumped up into this trade war issue as well. I think Intel's Intel is a solid company. Yeah, kind of meandered underneath the 50-day moving average here and really it kind of independent of the 50-day moving average. This really was kind of a trade war issue. And I don't think that's super over with, like Mike was just joking about with the whole, hey, market, Dow up 180 points on, hey, we're going to start talking again, and Kudlow going, yeah, it's just figurative. So hopefully Intel's kind of survived the near-death trade experience with the war. But if you look at a one-year chart, it's kind of made a round trip. I mean, essentially, up 5%, you could put your money in a Folgers can here and compared it with some some of the others in that space. It's a safe stock. It's that Intel, Microsoft, IBM type of, these guys will be here until the cows come home. I just think it's a little stodgy and boring. Well, not obviously when that happened, but I don't know. I like Intel, but it really doesn't set my hair on fire. Mm.
Mike, how are you feeling?
Well, TXN just reported, and you know, they've run from 120 to 127 here. We haven't got the conference call yet. And oh, Matt, Wiz, I agree with you. It's all about the call, right? Exactly. Always about the call, but that's a nice look. And we get X-Link tomorrow night and then Intel on Thursday night. My thoughts on Intel is I'm very cautious on this name. News out today was that Apple may be looking to buy their 4G LTE modem business. That's right. $1 billion. They were up. I think the new CEO has a lot to learn. And by that is, you know, here's your last earnings date. We had this massive gap down, right? On horrible guidance, getting out of all sorts of business. AMD is, by the way, is eating their lunch in the PC space. And then 2 weeks later, he guides down a second time. You can't do that. No offense. If you're a CEO, you're supposed to be on top of this. You should be able to say, you should know 2 weeks earlier how much you're guiding down by. You shouldn't have to halt and guide down a second time. Mm-hmm. I don't have a good feel for this stock. Ultimately, I'd rather be in AMD. I think AMD is the name to be in. I'd rather be in NVIDIA. I'd rather be in X-Link, even though they have huge problems there with exposure to Hawaii and China. I don't believe in Intel right now. They're getting their lunch eaten by everybody in every space.
I like that. Yeah, I think Christian joined us, guys.
Chris, are you there? Christian?
I am here. Sorry about the lateness. I just wanted to unmute my mic there, but sure. I am here. Thanks. Great discussion that you guys are having on Roku that I was listening to. And yeah, that's what makes a market, right? Different right. opinions and great opinions that you guys have.
All right. You want to jump into the next one, Christian? We're talking about CSX. And obviously, this is a part of the transportation average, which has been lagging the other big indexes that have been making all-time highs. And today it did roll over a little bit on some pretty good volume. Did you have anything to say here on CSX Corp?
Yeah, so, you know, interesting with these rails, right? CSX was the first one out, and the CEO really made some comments, some interesting comments talking about it's one of the most puzzling atmospheres that he's ever seen. And you know, that with their guidance kind of sent the stock down. I think it's going to have to rebuild here a little bit. You know, it's kind of in no man's land. It was trading in this range. You know, I was actually hoping that this thing would take the next leg higher, but it certainly did not do that. So I think it's going to need some time to kind of build. Oh, look at that. So the weekly chart, always good to look at the weekly chart first. Weekly chart, you've got some nice support there right at 69.80. I did not see that. So that looks pretty good to trade against. But I do, that being said, weekly chart, right, longer term, I think it is going to take some time to kind of hold in here. And I think NSC reports tomorrow morning, so maybe that gives a little bit of a hint on the group. But, you know, if you want to trade against the support line, call it 69, that would be your support. But again, I think that this is going to take a long time to build back up.
Wiz, what's your take on CSX?
CSX was our still is one of our big holdings here, Top Gun Options, in our model portfolio. You know, here's what's funny about the history of CSX. We got into it about two and a half years ago, a kind of a Gordon Gekko moment right there. I was looking to get into a rail infrastructure play, right? President, the three R's, railroad, runways, and roads. And the previous CEO dropped dead out of the blue. Stock went down like 5%, big gap down there. And we've been in it ever since. This was my great political hope, so to speak, when was it? Right here, Nancy Pelosi, you know, going to the White House with Chuck to talk about infrastructure spending with Donald Trump before she gets in her car, says the dude's breaking the law and needs to be impeached. She gets to the White House and Trump's like, yeah, we're done. We're not doing anything again ever together. So big pullbacks out of CSX. To what Mike said, this was shocking. That the miss was the fact that they didn't pre-warn is almost a violation of that dude's fiduciary duty. The fact that, like he said on the earnings call, that this is the most dizzying or puzzling earnings or business environment he's been in. Why do I say that? Because, and let me go over this one, is because for the previous three or four earnings periods, four of them. The guy sounded like it was a like a reelect Trump campaign commercial. I don't know how many of these earnings calls, three out of the four, or maybe all four, the guy said, this is the best environment I've ever seen. We couldn't be more bullish and things are great. And then he comes out with this one out of the blue, literally out of the blue. No warning. No, at least FedEx, you know, over the past couple months, they pre-warned twice. I mean, they ran out to the microphone twice and pre-warned. So this was awful. Long-term bullish on CSX, got some synthetic stock going down range, but short-term bearish, going to pound the hell out of this thing into the dirt till it turns around. I just don't see a quick turnaround on CSX, mainly because the Nancy, Chuck, and Donald show ain't getting – that was the one thing that both sides of the aisle could agree to. As a matter of fact, during the initial infrastructure meeting – I think it was back here. I remember Nancy and Chuck coming out to the microphone out of the White House with a shocked look on their face going, he actually added money. It was like they wanted whatever. And he's like, no, let's do $2 billion. And just he's like, this is what I do, roads and concrete and building stuff. So if you believe in the long-term bullishness of getting infrastructure done, you got to like CSX long-term. Short-term, you just got to pound it into the dirt. There ain't no good news coming anytime soon out of CSX.
Yeah, the stock's trading right in the middle of its 52-week range. About 80 on the top end, 60 on the bottom, or about 70. Mike, from this level here, are we gonna, you know, which way do we turn? Because we're right in the middle of the street.
Honest answer is, I was on TV with the. They brought me on to talk about this name when the earnings that day, and I said that, you know, this is either this CEO is a one off, and we'll see what the rest of them are earnings. And we had UMP and KSU within the following 2 days, or we're in big trouble with the rails. And it turned out that this is a one off. KSU and UMP both beat and raised guidance and look good. You know, CSX missed, lowered guidance, and then to your point, guys, Christian and Matt, is puzzling. You know, that's kind of like Cat and the CEO saying high watermark during the trading day when we dumped how big that day a year ago.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Right. I mean, this is just like, okay, the things you should never say as a CEO on a conference call. We can make a whole list of those things. I think this is a name to avoid. I'd rather be in the KSU or UMP if I'm going to be in any of the rails. And I just think that this name at this point, the CEO has only been a CEO for 2 years. This is the most puzzling economic environment I've ever seen. Well, you haven't seen too much, have you? I'll leave it at that.
All right, let's switch over to where are we at here? Home Depot. Christian, how do you feel about Home Depot up in the area that is trading right now?
Home Depot, I like it. You know, it's coming into support. It had a nice rip higher. You know, there's a couple things I could say about Home Depot, right? So it ripped higher here and it's pulling back. It had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 red bars in a row. I got long this thing. I got long yesterday and I took some profits this morning and then I kind of re-added to it. I'm a big fan of Home Depot. You know, even though we had a positive trade headline today, which you just never know. But I think this is a great name to kind of be in where you don't really have to worry about that. There's not too much international trade war stuff that is going to affect Home Depot. I also think, you know, considering the weather, I'm on the East Coast, I'm in New York City, and man, the volatility of the weather has been outrageous. And I think the rest of the country is going through that. I think that if you want a position for hurricane season, I think this is a great name to do it in. So I'm very bullish Home Depot. Of course, I always look at the technicals, and where I would be wrong or where I would get out of my trade is 210. If we happen to break into value, we would be breaking through the 20-day moving average as well as the value area. So that happens on bullish Home Depot.
Now, Wiz, your roof got blown off today with that storm. Are you going to go down to Home Depot, or what are you thinking?
Man, I don't even know what a hammer's used for. I pay people to do that stuff, man. I could fly a $60 million fighter aircraft. My wife used to have to program the VCR. Home Depot, yeah, it's a good point. You know, I say it tongue in cheek, but down here in South Florida, this is a seasonal trade. Every fall around hurricane season, some good people I know, including me, get long Home Depot through hurricane season. Every time you see a tropical depression or, oh, geez, you know, God forbid something's coming towards Miami, there's a run on these things, and these stocks tend to get a little bit of a seasonal boost out of that. If you're trading or monitor the political stuff like I tend to do, a couple weeks ago, the founder, chairman, whatever that guy's name was, said he was giving Trump like $50,000 billion for his reelection campaign. And of course, these social justice warriors on, you know, went absolutely bananas and boycotted Home Depot. I don't even think they know how to spell Home Depot, let alone had shop there. Kind of like the same people on the other side of the aisle that go, hey, I'm going to boycott Nike and Starbucks. Oh, yeah, they're really going to miss you. I love Home Depot. It's a good stock, solid American company. Little anecdote about Home Depot, the Lowe's cracks me up. Where do you guys see Lowe's around America? Usually what? Within like a quarter of a mile of a Home Depot. Lowe's doesn't have a marketing or a search department. So Home Depot, I forget where it was, like the middle of North Dakota, they built one just, you know, for grins, and Lowe's followed them and they ended up closing it. Like they're right later. Next to them. Yeah, like suckers. But no, I love Home Depot. Long-term bullish on this. Definitely a seasonal trade as well. In hurricane season, these things tend to catch a bid. And God forbid, you know, I like to tell my folks at Topgun Options, I wear two suits. I wear a flight suit as an American. I'll tell you how I feel. And then I got Gordon Gekko as an American. Obviously, God forbid a hurricane hits South Florida. But also, if a hurricane hits, I'm going to help try and make some money off of it. So, but there's my America trade with a flight suit and then my Gordon Gekko trade. But no, long-term bullish on Home Depot.
Hey, Mike, how do you feel about Home Depot? Hello, Mike.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, now I can. Yeah, what's your take on Home Depot?
I think Christian kind of nailed it with that 210 area. You know, I look at this previous high that was all the way back here, you know, early about a year ago, about, you know, 9 months ago, and right around 211, which we're holding, right? We held into the close. That's your line in the sand. Christian used 210. I'm going to go a little bit higher. If we hold there, I think everything's okay. I think this is a hurricane play, but August is typically a quiet month for hurricanes. So I think I'd rather wait, let them get earnings out of the way, and then try it after that in September. You know, this ramp here was all because of that tropical storm and the hurricane in the Gulf. That's why we ramped up on those couple days. So to your guys' points, this is definitely a storm play this time of year. I'd rather wait for one to form and then go after it then.
All right, this next one's a big runner, Shopify. It's had a 52-week low of 117 and a 52-week high of 340. So that's a double. And it's trading $130 above its 200-day moving average. So here we are. And today it rolled over a little bit on some decent volume. So, Christian, do you see anything with Shopify that's interesting?
Yeah, I would say, you know, definitely a high flyer. I would say stick with the trend is your friend, right? I would say if you're in it, stay with the trend, ratchet up your trailing stop. You've got earnings coming up on the first. So personally, like trying to initiate a position up here, I personally would not do it. I would wait for a pullback. I also would not play earnings on this name with it up here this much. I would kind of wait till see if it checks back to a little bit of support. And same thing, if you're waiting for it to, you could also, if it continues to kind of roll up here, I would also wait until earnings is through and maybe you can by chance see if it reports a good quarter and you know it sells off on strong numbers, which sometimes these names do because of the level that they're at. But man, what a beautiful trend, right? In this Shopify.
Yeah, it's another company that's gone way up, but their earnings as far as making money is not there. So, you know, with these, like even Amazon, when they missed the number there about, 6 months ago or a year, it went from 2050 down to 1500. So, you know, I think all of these would be interesting if they got any kind of news that were sobering. What are you thinking here, Wiz, on Shopify?
I'm going to punt, man. I'm going to go over to Mike. I'm not a big Shopify guy, really. I mean, Chris nailed it. I mean, look, the trend's your friend on that one, but I'm really not Joe's super technical trader, so I'm going to punt.
What do you got, Mike, on Shopify? You know, it's been a real good moneymaker. What are you thinking?
Honestly, I remember Citron coming out with, I'll give $100,000 to charity. The stock's going to 100 back in this 200 level. Yeah, so much for that, right?
That was great. I remember that.
Remember that, right? You know, wrong. Very, very wrong. You know, it's kind of like one of those names that's just defying gravity here, right? I think, Jim, you'll point out how far it is above the 200-day, which it's massively. But, you know, it's trying to take on Amazon. It's starting to have some success. So it's becoming an alternative. I think the trend's your friend. I think you buy dips on this thing. I don't think you chase this thing. But, you know, if you look at this, you can see the 21-day has been pretty strong support through this whole run, right? The black line. You know, it touches to it or just below it. Every time it retakes, it has been a good place to try it. That's where I would look to try it if I really want to be into it. But I don't think I'd be involved in this thing through earnings. I don't play earnings to begin with. I definitely wouldn't be on this one.
All right, now we're going to turn to the interest rate picture. TLT, 20-year treasury. A lot of people are thinking, were thinking, a 0.5% cut, and they were thinking about an earnings nightmare in Q2. Both of those things may not happen. So what happens to TLT, Christian?
Yeah, so TLT has been on a really nice run, but it's the last, month or so, it's been digesting some of those moves up here in the long bond ETF. The last time we took out a key level up here, 132, and we have not been able to get over it. So I think you just kind of have to wait at this point for which way this digestion is going to go. I would, on the downside, I would keep in mind that 50-day moving average, because it kind of looks like it might. And again, we see this in a lot of charts, but really it's not a head and shoulders pattern until it breaks the neckline. But you kind of look like you've got a left shoulder, a head, and a right. So either it's going to break this neckline, which I would say maybe the 50-day using average, or you could wait, because sometimes we just see digestion for a while and then a next leg higher. And I would stay neutral until it gets above 133 in the long bond ETF.
Okay, Wiz, you thinking anything happening with this TLT, with the Fed meeting at the end of the month, and maybe some action in the interest rate market?
Yeah, well, I'm going to mini punt on this because I don't trade TLT. I just, in interest rates in general, man,
We're seeing massive red volume into the markets here. Justice Department to open broad antitrust reviews of big tech companies, Facebook, Amazon, Google, Apple, all specifically named in this. Look out.
Whoa. The Department of Justice, not FTC.
200-day averages, yes. We're way underneath the market at 27 change. So we have to.
I'm just looking at red candles all over my charts. I have 20 charts up. What the hell is going on?
and the alphabet soup was DOJ, not FTC, right?
Correct. Correct. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. Go ahead. I just saw this. I thought that's something.
That's critical. Yeah, I'm looking at Amazon slowly rolling over here, and a bunch of other guys imploding too. Well, you know, we knew that was coming, but I mean, DOJ. So when the FTC, so what was it, four, whenever that mini half a morning tech wreck was, remember it was rumored that the DOJ is going to look into Facebook and Goog, and FTC was going to look into Amazon. And I kind of breathed a sigh of relief because I said, hey, in the alphabet soup, DOJ means criminal. FTC means I'll see you in 5, 10, 15 years, like Standard Oil or the Ma Bell or the Bells and Microsoft or IBM and shit like that. So Uncle Sammy waving a badge is a lot different than Uncle Sammy, you know, waving a, can you guys please change? That ain't good. Right. And I think that's also between us ladies here in an election play. I mean, my personal Twitter account had like 4,000 or 5,000 followers and got shut down because I said something somebody didn't like. So I think that's huge. Let's get back to the politics of this. I was going to bring in
$2.50 already.
Apple. Jeez.
It doesn't sound like a revenge play, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, they knew it was coming. I mean, what's his name? Jack Dorsey should have been arrested for perjury. The guy testified under oath in front of Congress that Twitter doesn't shadow ban people or ban conservative voices. The next month, they had a news alert that said they do shadow ban people because that Project Veritas dude came out with the recording. So you're playing a very dangerous game with these tech companies. Are they going to get thrown out of business? Of course they won't. But when you got billions of dollars in legal fees starting to if Uncle Sammy wants to make you their own special project, you're going to be their own special project. So, wow, this is big. But let me just segue real quick, because we were talking about interest rates. Speaking about Uncle Sammy, I mean, Donald Trump's playing this like a fiddle as well. He's setting up Ben Bernanke, my God, I'm old, Jerome Powell to be his fall guy. If we get some sort of recession in the next year, he's going to go, look at this, man. 8 years under Obama, near zero interest rates. And for a couple months, they were pumping $85 billion into a market. He's like, could you imagine if we had done that? So I think next week, long rambling short, I think the Fed can only disappoint. I think they're going to cut, obviously. It ain't going to be a half. It'll be a quarter. But I think it's going to be sell on the news. I think this cut is already priced in. And I don't think that the Fed's got too many more bullets left. So I don't know how the TLT trades in relation to that. But I'm starting to hedge a little bit around this Fed meeting next week, because I only think they can disappoint. I don't think they can really. And if they do surprise the market with like a half a cut, I think we get a pop. And then people start looking around going, holy crap, are things a lot worse than they thought? And then maybe we roll over. So I don't know, man.
Facebook down 4. Wow.
You have a TLT call, Mike?
Yeah. I think bonds and TLT rallies into the Fed next week, and then we'll see. I don't think the Fed should cut for what it's worth. I think the American economy is doing great. I don't think we need to cut. I think they need to stay vigilant. And to your point, Wiz, I don't think we get a half point basis cut. I think they do 0.25 because I think they have to at this point, right? If they don't, I think them if they don't cut, this market's going to throw the biggest temper tantrum we've seen in the last year and a half.
Jim, not to date you, but you seem like an old salt. Well, how many times, or any of you guys, the Fed funds futures rate is at 100%? I mean, does that happen often? Like that, well, like you just said.
Yeah, the Fed should have pushed back on the rhetoric coming out of the market that all these cuts were coming and all these cuts were coming. Since they didn't push back on the rhetoric, now they're forced to at least do a quarter. But definitely, it's not needed. And definitely, it's not a situation where we're on a race down to zero. I mean, the guy JP Morgan says we're going back to zero. So if we do that, you can forget about the banks because you can see what zero has done to the European banks. So I don't know that. And then, of course, the asset bubble could even go bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, after people leave office at some point, you know, the people who run the Fed are having to deal with bubbles that break. So
can I bring up that point?
My feeling is that they go back to 95 to get this kind of action again, where they do a preemptive something. So they're going back into the treasure chest 20 years or more. Yeah. And they're trying to dig up some reason why it would make any sanity other than trying to flood the market with cheap money to try to get the S&P to 4,000.
You make a great point. I said this for the last couple of days. Why the hell are they buying the banks the last couple of days ahead of a expected rate cut where the market is expecting and hoping for at least a 0.5 basis point rate cut? That makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they're thinking loan demand will pick up. And then, of course, maybe refi demand picks up and all these things pick up. And that's where the banks can make some money. But
I think it's priced
a lot
in as well.
Yeah. Do you, Christian?
I think everyone's got an opinion on more than likely. And let's talk about Amazon because it was up here earlier today and it's trying to get up above that high of 2050. And will this be the week where it can blow it out, or do we roll over and say bye-bye to the 2000 number? What do you think, Christian?
Yeah. So, you know, pretty timely with the story that just hit. And great conversation, by the way, on interest rates. I mean, it's definitely going to be all eyes are going to be on that for next week once we get through earnings season. So Amazon, you know, the only thing I don't like with obviously they report later in the week is that probably the expectations are a little bit high. But, I don't really have a reason to kind of fade this. I would stick with it. I'll probably have some type of position on long. Maybe I'll end up selling premium. I just don't think that we're going to get a big sell-off in this name. I think it's a market leader. Everybody's chasing after Amazon. All kinds of retailers are reshuffling and trying to match what they're doing. So I would rather be in a market leader. The only thing I'm worried about is expectations are a little bit high. But I think the trend, I think if you look at the technicals, right, we got what looks like a nice cup and handle going on in this thing. So that's another reason for me to kind of to stick with it and stay with it. And, you know, the Department of Justice, of course, you know, we can debate this one as well. But I mean, what are they really going to do? Are they, you know, this seems also like, I think as Matt said, this seems like a political type thing. I mean, look, at they just fined Facebook, $5 billion? And it was like swatting a fly, right, for them. You know, I mean, so I don't know. This is just noise, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the premiums are a little bit on the rich side. The 2,000 calls for next month, August, are up at almost $45 a share. So there's certainly some premium above for people who want to play that game. Wiz, what are you seeing on Amazon? I know you follow it. What do you think?
Oh, God, yeah. We have a service dedicated just to trading Amazon. We call it Solo Amazon, obviously. I mean, this thing, Morgan Stanley was out with a note earlier in the week. I know I'm saying you're on Cooper, whatever it is, their satellite project. He wants to put 3,200 satellites in low Earth orbit in a couple of years to give high-speed internet to everybody in the world, from the middle of Somalia to Antarctica. It's a $250 billion business at a minimum, they said. And then the deal they announced today with RealG, the struggling real estate giant or former giant. So they're in everything, man. It's an octopus. They're in space. They're in healthcare. They're in real estate now. I think the Jedi, yeah, we call it trading the Death Star, and I didn't, and I forgot the Jedi contract they're in competition with Microsoft. Last week or 2 weeks ago, a judge, Oracle, was in the corner crying like a baby, sucking on their thumb that it wasn't fair that the two big guys were in, but the judge ruled that it needs to go ahead. And to be honest with you, at this point, I think it's going to be a victory for Amazon if they don't get it, meaning this, because 2-3 days ago, Trump was ripping Amazon apart in the Oval Office. And the next day, 4 Republican senators came out and said, throttle back, dude. So I don't know if Microsoft gets it. I think it looks like, you know, anti-Amazon hate. I can't say enough good about Amazon. I think it's a $3,000 stock a year from now. It's this Realg deal, you know, now it's one stop. They're going to give you $5,000 to use their service, and they're going to come and wire your house and put up $5,000 in new electronics, which of course are listening to everything you say, and the toaster will start laughing at you. So can't say enough about Amazon. Obviously, with earnings coming up 25th after market close, I'd probably sit on my hands, but I'm uber long-term bullish on Amazon. I think it might just be the one stock you need to own. And real quick, I used to fly for FedEx for a little bit. Amazon Air, man, by I think 2020, I think they're supposed to have 70 planes. I mean, as soon as Trump railed on him about using the USP, United States Postal Service, and we're going to come and get you, what'd he do? He stood up his own FedEx, UPS, and Postal Service. So forget it. It's over with. Amazon is the way to go. Thank you. Hey, good night. Try the veal.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Mike, what are you thinking on Amazon from here?
I'm thinking if you really like it, you're getting a hell of a discount here after hours.
Yeah. I saw it getting whacked pretty hard. Was it down 20?
Well, it was down over 30 at one point. It's bounced back about 10 bucks already, or 14 bucks off that low. Honestly, I don't want to touch through earnings. What I do know is that the last couple of earnings periods is that AWS has missed, and that's really where their money comes from. So if that doesn't hit, look out. Again, it's not about the retail. We all think of Amazon as a retail. You know, they had a big Amazon Prime multi-day here. But to me, it's all about AWS. And if that doesn't beat, look out. They've guided down a couple times. To me, they're showing signs of slowing down. But I do agree. I think this is a great stock. I think, you know, they're positioning themselves now in that streaming space as well, where they're paying tons of money now. They're developing they paid $250 million just to develop a Lord of the Rings show. Just for the rights to develop it. Sorry, not the actual money to put into it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Mike, real quick. A couple years ago, AWS wasn't even considered, you know, a profit center. It was just kind of a, hey, somebody go over here and look into this and play with it. And now it prints money. Might not be printing as much money as it once used to, but I always find it interesting. I have an article somewhere about how they weren't even viewing it at the time as a potential profit center.
It's unbelievable, right?
Found cash. Yeah.
But look at Microsoft's earnings this week. And they were fabulous again, but they sold off on it because, well, it's running, you know, we're slowing down. So I think they need to do something spectacular to blow out. I like your idea, Wiz, long term, but I think right now they're kind of stuck in a sideways pattern until we see something special come out of them. They need to raise guidance, which they have.
I think your breaking news is obviously the closest alligator to the boat. We got to see how serious, you know, like I said, when Uncle Sammy flashes a badge, you got to read what they're looking into.
What if
that's criminal.
Them to separate Amazon, the company we all buy from, and the AWS into different companies.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know,
I sometimes I don't think it's out of school, Wiz, to think that, you know, Trump and Barr would love, you know, would like to go after these guys. And what better time to do it a week before the Fed meets? So if we cause a big drop, it's way before the election. So that doesn't matter. And it's going to put a lot of heat on the Fed if we get a real substantial drop on really acting on the 31st.
Well, you know, I was sitting here laughing. Now I'm seeing all this, you know, my cell phone's lighting up and news and stuff like that. Guess what tomorrow was supposed to be in Washington?
You don't have to be from Harvard to put the dots together. I mean, I don't need to call Law and Order up and have Lenny Briscoe put the dots together for us. You know
what I mean? Even a political science major like me can sit here and go, wow, nice to check. But no, that's awesome. This is I'm getting my popcorn ready. This is going to be an interesting couple days.
All right. Well, an interesting stock for sure has been Beyond Meat. And Christian, this thing is went up to 208 today, then rolled over to 195. The volume is a little bit lighter lately than it had been. Is this thing for real and going to keep going, or is this a blow off up here?
I mean, a really cheap valuation company. You know, it's all about value with Beyond Meat. No, I was just joking. You know, this is absolutely, sorry. I have my whole portfolio in it. No, I mean, I think it's, we've kind of seen this story before with, it's running on pure momentum, right? So mm-hmm. would I touch this in terms of, you know, holding this long term or anything like that? No, I mean, I think it's a nice day trade vehicle for those who are really good at scalping and day trading. Clearly the momentum has been out of this world with this thing. It reminds me of Tillery, but you know, yeah. you know what happened with that name too. And it's kind of the same repeating story. These things is, and you know, using the short term moving averages are great for these things because once they break, they usually break and they're broken. So, you know, that's, I'll leave it there for Beyond Meat.
Wiz, anything going on with Beyond Meat?
No, man, I'm American. I eat real meat. I don't even know what it is, and it creeps me out. So punt.
All right, Mike, what are you thinking?
Made a nice trade on it yesterday. Gave that and a hell of a lot more back chasing into the highs today. Thank you, Christian, for pointing that out. But I'm always willing to admit to my mistakes. I took a major loss on this today, only because I was dumb and I filled badly. Honestly, from a fundamental standpoint, I don't understand this company. They're worth $12 billion on $100 million in sales. Somebody please explain this to me. I was looking for momentum and I took a bad miss. I don't do it very often and it happens. And I don't want anything to do with this company. In fact, fake meat is now completely off my radar. Thanks for
bringing it. I think the guy from Shark Tank, his face would melt off right now if you walked in and tried to give it that valuation. So I'd pass. I don't get it, man. No thanks. Ponzi scheme.
Fake meat, not me. You know,
there you go.
All right, you guys, we've got about 5 minutes left. And I think the people would rather maybe also hear a little bit about what you guys personally think looks pretty good right now. So let's go around the horn. And if you have anything of a particular nature on anything or a little bit of a something to add, this would be a good time to do it. So Christian, do you have anything specific that you're looking at that you'd like to share?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I'll be total contrarian, right? With, you know, plenty of arguments. And I heard Mike said before, which is very valid, right, about interest rates and, you know, declining interest rate environment and so forth. But I'll tell you, you know, from a technical standpoint, I love this Morgan Stanley here. You know, just reported earnings, got that out of the way. You know, one catalyst it has going is these guys are going to be buying back shares like crazy. Other than that, I just think the technicals look really good in Morgan Stanley and Goldman, both on the daily chart and on the weekly chart. It's trying to get inside value, which is really unusual for it to do. So you could use basically a $44 stop with this. But, you know, again, I think right now we're seeing a little bit of rotation, which is somewhat normal for earnings season. And I think we see shifts around. I think some of the software names saw a little bit of profit taking and yeah, maybe a little bit of money going into the banks, Morgan and Goldman. So a little contrarian play. That's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, with more of a brokerage firm slant with those two.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And I think, you know, leaders in their group.
Yeah. Okay. What are we looking at, Wiz, that's looking interesting to you right now?
I like, you know, sometimes it helps to, you know, pick your nose up from the radar and go down range. Beginning of the year, Forbes had a great article about Brazil and the Bovespa. If you're not familiar, down there, they elected what they call the Trump of the tropics, Bolsonaro. Guys come in, cracking heads, former like army paratrooper or something like that. So I like, and I hate, I think it sounds racist if I call Brazil an emerging market, but I like the EWZ. We've been trading the EWZ, which is the iShares Brazil ETF. We've been doing it since before the Olympics, before the World Cup, before Dilma and the other dude got impeached. It can be a little bit of a little political heat, but great companies in it. Petrobras, a lot of oil and financial plays. They maybe kind of care about what our Fed does, but more or less they don't. If you look at their financial stocks year to date, are just printing money. Banco de Brazil up 57% year to date. So the EWZ, it's up, what is it, like 15-16% year to date. I like that as a nice solid, hey, pick your nose up off the radar and look down range. The other one, I call this a Captain Kirk trade. Kind of, you guys are all old enough to remember the original one, boldly going where nobody's going right now. And that's FXI, Foxtrot X-Ray India. If you do believe this little bit of a clown car that, hey, we're hopping on an airplane and something's going to get done, maybe you go out like pre-election and buy some Donald Trump, I'm going to get a trade deal done just in name to see a rip your face off rally. Maybe buy some calls on FXI out to the fall. bullish, and maybe, you know, take a look at a longer term play on FXI. We trade the hell out of this. It's comical. Every one of these big moves in FXI, I can tell you exactly what happened. Like PBOC jumping into safe capitalism, not enough. More. Every one of these was like a headline or a tweet or, you know, China saying something. So this is a blast to trade, and we like doing this. So look down range with maybe a Brazil long term, and then maybe a Trump needs to get reelected with a trade deal, trade on FXI.
Okay, Mike, do you got something to add here?
I do. By the way, I think Lighthizer and Mnuchin are going out there to meet their lovers. Seriously, I think this is a vacation for them. I want to bring up AMD. I love this name. I think I've been pounding this name on the table now for 6+ months with you guys every time I come on here. It put in briefly a, 16-year high or 10-year high, whatever it was here the other day. Pull back, and it's rebuilding going to earnings next week. They're beating Intel in the processor space, right, on your desktop. They're beating the hell out of them. They're taking AMD to the rails right now. I like what they're doing. They're firing on all cylinders. They're taking on two market segments in that space in the semiconductor at the same time. They have China exposure, but it's not as big as some of the other companies, and it's showing. So on a China deal, this rips on earnings next week. They go, I would see how this is going into earnings. It might run, but I like this name. If you like that space, I would keep an eye on Micron. It's run a ton, but the reason I point this out is because you had a change in character. On this earnings day and that gap up, this stock changed character, right? Instead of selling off, it went up, it gapped, and never touched the gap, and it's been off to the races all the way up into the 46s. I'm not saying to chase it up here. If you get a pullback into the 8-day or 45 area, maybe give it a shot. And I'll give you one last one. Always a personal favorite of mine is Twitter. I don't think this name is anywhere near as done. I think this was a game changing. I loved their earnings last time. It's been languishing. Snap was good tonight. I'd watch Facebook tomorrow night. This one reports Friday morning, but you still have gap to fill up to 42 above this 41 area. And I don't think this one is by far over, but wait until earnings to confirm it. Don't chase it beforehand.
Mike, did they did the alphabet soup loop them in, or was it Facebook, Amazon, Google?
It was Facebook, Amazon, Google, Apple.
Wow. And Apple. So no Twitter.
Twitter, Apple. Okay. Apple's under big time fire on this one. And Microsoft and Twitter are safe. But, you know, everything in that space right now is getting hit because the Qs are getting hit. But
sure.
Specifically, they named those four.
Okay.
Okay, sounds great. One thing I just wanted to hit is on the S&P. We ran up towards 3020. You don't want to fight the tape, but there has been a lot of exuberance with regards to Fed's got your back, the Fed's got your back, and the complacency index, the VIX, is down in 12 and 13. So if we can bust above 15, 17, and we get under 2950 on the S&P, I think then you're going to get a 5 or 8% correction, which not everyone is expecting right now. And with this news that came out this afternoon, I don't know if that lit the fuse to what I'm talking about, but I'd monitor pretty closely. All right. Everybody, just give everybody the way to get a hold of you, you know, your website or something like that. Christian?
Christian?
No, Christian, you're muted.
How about
sorry go about to, that. Yeah, I'm oh, sorry. there we go. I found the mute button. TribecaTradeGroup.com. You could also find me on Twitter. My Twitter name is at CPromHertz. Thanks, guys, for being on. Sorry again to be late, but great discussion and happy to be on today. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Christian. Wiz, what? How can people get a hold of you and catch up with you?
I think we just lost him, but he's coming back in. Mike, if you want to are you there with him? Come back to
the map. Sure. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Options Mike. That's me actually there on the set with Fast Money. And my website is smartoptiontrading.com. Thanks for having me on, guys. Great discussion today. Always love being here.
Thanks, Mike. And people who want to get a hold of me, I'm at optionprofessor.com. And every week we have a podcast where I give you a roundup on all the different markets that I'm watching. And until then, great meeting and great to have everybody here. I'm going to send it back to David right now.
Matt, are you back?
Yeah, I'm loud and clear. No worries. The lightning striking around here. Go.topkinoptions.com/brief if you want to attend some of our weekly briefs that we do every once in a while that we open to the public. It's pretty easy to remember. Go.topkinoptions.com/brief. And thanks for having me. Good working with you guys again.
Thanks, Wiz. Okay, David, back to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great discussion. So just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show or any of the past shows. And be sure to join us next week for both shows. You can also go to timingresearch.com/live for access to the live events. And just want to quickly thank my guests again for today's episode: Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com, Mike Pisani of SmartOptionTrading.com, Matt Buckley of TopGunOptions.com, and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.